So, Father, I, as ever, lay my work before your hands. Lord, I thank you for what I think is a message in time. But, Lord, it only is any power if you breathe life into it, Lord, and enter into hearts which are softened and minds that are opened, whether it's here in this little number gathered together or whether it's when it goes on the internet, hopefully, that word, Lord, that you have blessed can get into the hearts and minds of people all over the world. And we just threw out the seed, Lord, and then the rest of it is down to you and the Holy Spirit. So bless this, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So today's message on the 26th of April 2026, not surprisingly, is entitled The Marathon. The Marathon. I'm going to read from 1 Corinthians 9, 16 to 27. Paul speaking here to the Corinthian church, saying, "When I preach the gospel, I cannot boast, for I am compelled to preach. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. If I preach voluntarily, I have a reward. If not voluntarily, I am simply discharging the trust committed to me. What then is my reward? Just this, that in preaching the gospel, I may offer it free of charge, and so not make use of my rights in preaching it. Though I am free and belong to no man, I make myself a slave to everyone, to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I became like a Jew, to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak, to win the weak. I have become all things to all men, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. I'd be surprised if you aren't aware that as we sit in this chapel today, there is a massive event going on in another place. The 2026 London Marathon takes place today, the 26th of April 26, setting a new world record with over 1.13 million ballot applications to run it. More than 59,000 participants are expected to start. 59,000! Reinforcing its status as the world's largest and most popular marathon. It is the 46th edition of the race. The largest marathon in history regarding finisher counts, as in those people who actually complete it. The richest fundraiser in sport. And the flattest and fastest course on the World Marathon Majors circuit. Key facts for this 2026. The 2026 event is the most inclusive in history, featuring over 1,900 participants with disabilities. Nearly 2,000 people with disabilities are running that marathon. The oldest participant in this marathon is a guy called Harry Newton from Macclesfield. He's 88. 88. The charity focuses Marie Curie, the charity of the year, continuing the event's record-breaking charity fundraising tradition. The route starts at Blackheath in Greenwich Park and finishes at the Mall, following the traditional 26.2-mile course. That's a long way. That's further than Lincoln. The first to start are the men's and women's elite wheelchair races at 08:50. So they're already going. The elite women's race at 9:05. They're going. The elite men at 9:25, they're gone. And the rest go in waves up to 11:30. So there's about 7 minutes left before they all set off. At that point, how many people will be running? 59,000. That's unbelievable, isn't it? So why at different times do they set off? Well, because some need a head start, don't they? So that they're not still racing hours after the fastest runners are finished. And your wheelchairs can be quite quick nowadays, can't they? Now, I don't know what you think about running a marathon, but most of us here might struggle catching a bus these days. Never mind 26.2 miles of running. In fact, how many of us could even walk 26.2 miles? Clearly, there are people out there who look forward to this kind of challenge. And one of them is that man, Harry Newton, from Macclesfield, who at 88 ought to be applauded for even starting a marathon, never mind whether he finishes or not. I'm not sure how many rules there are when you run a marathon, but I'm guessing hitching a ride, calling a taxi, finding a push bike, or taking shortcuts are some of the rules that will disqualify you. Let's face it, it's gonna hurt. No matter how fit you think you are, it's gonna hurt. Some people, like Kelvin Kiptum, can or could run 26.2 miles in just over 2 hours. That's an average of just over 4.5 minutes per mile for 2 hours to cover 26 miles. That is phenomenal, isn't it? Anyway, just for fun, the longest time taken for a person running the London Marathon is recorded as being by Lloyd Scott. Lloyd Scott Lloyd Scott took 5 days, 8 hours, and 29 minutes and 46 seconds to complete that marathon. Because he was wearing a 130-pound antique deep-sea diving suit at the time. All these people have risen to the challenge, along with two of our own sons, who can now say, I've run a marathon. I haven't. My legs are too short. To be honest, it's never appealed to me. I was more of a sprinter in my time. Nevertheless, I appear to have signed up to a different type of marathon from the age of 28. The one that the Apostle Paul alludes to, not the same route as Paul took, and not with the same gifts or learning and teaching that he had, but a hard race nonetheless. At 28, I answered the call of God on my life, and not knowing what that might mean or how painful it was going to be. How about you out there? Do you feel that you're in a painful, tiring, never-ending race, not knowing how long it's going to take, and sometimes concerned that you might never finish? I'd be surprised if you haven't struggled to keep going at some point. in your life. One thing that makes our race as Christians and followers of Christ that bit easier is that we don't actually need to run. And we don't need to compete against anyone. And what's more, the people we're in the race with and alongside are supposed to be alongside us, supporting us and encouraging us when times get tough. And they do get tough, don't they? When we trip and fall in our walk with Jesus, we can be sure that someone, including the Lord himself, will help us get back up on our feet. And we will make mistakes along the way. And mistakes can be a very painful way of learning. But learning is necessary if we're going to finish the race guilt-free and with a glad heart. Sin can weigh you down. Sin can cause confusion and dull your ability to hear from God. In Galatians 6:1-9, we read Paul speaking to the Galatian church, "Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Each one should test his own actions. Then he can take pride in himself, without comparing himself to somebody else, for each one should carry his own load. Anyone who receives instruction in the word must share all good things with his instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." It's easy to become weary, isn't it? Either through illness, through worry, through lack of sleep, working long hours. Sometimes you just want to stop the world and get off, don't you? When you listen to the news, it's depressing sometimes. Even when you take time off, have a short break to go and recuperate, you can all too often come back to exactly where you left off. Wondering, was it really worth it for a short break? Or you come back and some disaster has happened in the house while you've been away. Sometimes life's like that. Challenging, painful, or just a bit of a drag, actually. A bit of a marathon, you might say. Because marathon runners set off well, full of enthusiasm, smiling at the cameras, waving their arms, full of energy, eager to run, enjoy the race, and the encouragement of the many fans and supporters along the way. But then, at some point, there's what is called hitting the wall. It happens typically around the 18 to 22 mile point and is caused by the human body running out of stored carbohydrates, glycogen, and forcing the body to start burning stored fat, which is less efficient. The runners experience a severe and dramatic drop in energy, causing their legs to feel like concrete or jelly. Their pace drops dramatically, and they can experience brain fog. Also, a common symptom is a mental crisis, where there is extreme mental fatigue and a strong emotional desire to just stop. Stop doing this. You can understand that, can't you? Because you're thrashing your body beyond its normal limits. And your brain says, stop! Now, there are advised methods to prevent hitting the wall. And training is one of them. And pre-fueling your body with carbohydrates every 30 to 45 minutes is another way. But I like the advice for if you do hit the wall. The advice is slow down immediately, consume fast-acting carbohydrates, and, listen to this one, break down the rest of the race into tiny, manageable segments. Fit that into your life. Now that would be good advice for us, wouldn't it, in our marathon. As believers, in our marathon, we should stop, pray, eat, drink, rest. Even Jesus was sympathetic towards his disciples when they were flagging. Do you remember? In Mark 6:31-32, it reads, "Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, 'Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest.' So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place." Now, if you signed up for the London Marathon, if you were one of the 1.1 million people who tried to sign up, or the, was it 59,000 who actually started, you're expected to run, aren't you? And you're aiming to finish the race intact, you would think. That's surely your hope, isn't it? If you decided to follow Jesus at some point in your life, then surely your hopes are similar, to keep going until you finish the race. Not to stop, but just keep heading in the right direction, following Jesus, who's alongside you and slightly ahead. He doesn't tend to run, thankfully. In fact, have you ever read in the Bible that Jesus ran anywhere? Paul was acutely aware that he was in a race full of trials, a race that he was determined, however, to finish. In Acts 20, 19-26, we read this. "I served the Lord with great humility and with tears, although I was severely tested by the plots of the Jews. You know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly and from house to house. I have declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus. And now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city, the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me, if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me. The task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. Now I know that none of you among whom I have gone about preaching the kingdom will ever see me again. Therefore I declare to you today that I am innocent of the blood of all men, because they've heard the gospel from Paul." The London Marathon will be over for most people by tomorrow, notwithstanding the people wearing iron suits. Some won't be going to work on Monday, I guess. Our marathon continues day after day, month after month, year after year. We are all approaching the finishing line, and the rules we have to follow include acting and speaking in love. That's a tall order for many people, but it is one of the rules. In Romans 13:10-14:4, we read, "Love does not harm its neighbour. Therefore, love is the fulfilment of the law. And do this, understanding the present time. The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ, and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Accept him whose faith is weak, without passing judgment on disputable matters. One man's faith allows him to eat everything, but another man whose faith is weak eats only vegetables. The man who eats everything must not look down on him who does not, and the man who does not eat everything must not condemn the man who does, for God has accepted him. Who are you to judge someone else's servant? To his own master, he stands or falls, and he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand." It's very easy, isn't it, to get downhearted, even depressed in this world. We meet many challenges in our personal lives, in our family lives, at work, all kinds of challenges that make us sad, make us grieve. Sometimes we think, is it really worth carrying on? Why can't I just make the world stop and get off? But we were warned by Jesus that we would have trouble and persecutions. And sometimes we forget, don't we, that Satan is on our case day and night, trying to disqualify us. We're running the race, but somebody's sniping at us from the sidelines all the time, not encouraging us, accusing us instead, telling us we can't do it, telling us we're going to fail. Satan never stops for long. However, the advice from Paul is this, in his letter to the Philippians. Philippians 2:14-16 says, "Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God, without fault in a crooked and depraved generation." Do you want me to say that again? "In a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe, as you hold out or hold on to the word of life, in order that I may boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor for nothing." Paul's marathon kept on going and going and going, and all his concern was that he wasn't disqualified, and the purpose for him taking on that race of taking the gospel to everybody that he reached, that was his goal. Paul is expecting that his work in the gospel will pay off in the end, and we will be the ones who benefit from his tireless efforts to teach the truth about Jesus and how to succeed in the race that we've entered. Remember that when you watch bits of the London Marathon on telly tonight, notice all the crowds lining the roads along the route, all cheering the runners and their costumes and their wheelchairs, and encouraging them to keep going, stick at it. That kind of encouragement goes a long way to helping us, doesn't it? To complete the race that we're in. We also can benefit greatly from that kind of encouragement. Even if we can't always see it or hear it or feel it, the encouragement that we can be assured of is by doing the Lord's will. And in that case, we have His encouragement, an encouragement from His friends, fellow Christians, knowing that you're doing the right thing, running by the rules, walking by the rules. Now, racing carrying unnecessary weight, like a diving suit, is somewhat foolish and painful, isn't it? We need to do everything possible to make the challenge easier, if we can. Jesus said His yoke was easy and His burden was light. So if it isn't like that for you today, try and make it that way. Try and offload things that are weighing you down. Let's look at Hebrews 12, 1-3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider Him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Consider Him. Congratulations if you ran the London Marathon today. I hope you did well. You are not too tired or damaged, and that it was all worthwhile. The race we entered hasn't finished yet. But when it does, we can look forward to a much higher prize. In fact, it's an eternal prize, and it's out of this world. Father, we thank You for Your word, for Your encouragement, Lord, for sustaining us in the race. And we pray, Lord, that You would fill us afresh with Your Holy Spirit, Lord. Increase our faith, strengthen our bodies, heal us, and Lord, lead the way, we pray, so that we can share the gospel like Paul did with those who will listen, those who are called by You to accept You as their Lord and Saviour. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.